this whole entire service, there will be some music, there will be prayer, but you are free to just sit and just receive. If you want to sing along, sing along. If you'd rather not, then you don't have to. We'll be in scripture. We will be lighting candles, and the candles will be reflective of the prayers that we are offering in this season. And so we'll walk you through kind of step by step, but just you have full permission to just be who you are this Christmas season. There's no expectation of any certain demeanor that you came into this room with. Just whoever you truly are, you are welcome in this place. I want to begin our time with a time of prayer together. Would you pray with me? Father God, we gather here this evening proclaiming together our longing for you, our longing for you to come more and more into our world, for you to have more and more of us. Father, we come here tonight from all kinds of circumstances, and we confess together our need for you. We admit together that without you, we have no hope. Father, we come here tonight carrying all kinds of stories and frustrations and pains and even just experiences from the past days, weeks, months, years. And yet we come as one, seeking your face together. Father, we thank you that you've invited us to come as we are, that you are not a God who tells us to get certain things right or to feel certain ways before we come into your presence, but you just ask us to come as children come to their parents, honestly and humbly and full of adoration. And so wherever we are tonight, we've come together to seek to find a way to worship, even in the midst of what could perhaps be a rather difficult season. And just as we do that, we are mindful that you came into our world, into our mess, into our lives, took that upon yourself, though no one expected you to. No one even asked you to. We couldn't have imagined a God moving in that way. And yet of your own initiative, you moved toward us, became one of us, and walked these roads that we walk, before us and behind us. And so tonight, would you continue to journey with us as we journey with you? Would you offer your spirit of comfort and of peace and of hope, even of joy in this place? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening we will be lighting several candles throughout the evening, and many of them have significance. To begin, I light one of our blue candles, and this is a candle for the grieving. As we light the candle, as we reflect on it, we remember Jacob when he was told that his son Joseph had been killed, hearing these words from Genesis chapter 37. It said they had the long robe with sleeves taken to their father, and they said, "This we have found. See now whether it is your son's robe or not." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. A wild animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters sought to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning." Thus his father bewailed him. So as we light this candle for those who are grieving, we light the candle for Jacob, a father who we find in grief, grieving a son who was lost. And we acknowledge tonight those that we have lost. We acknowledge loved ones who were taken from us in this very year, or even years ago, whose presence we still long for. We acknowledge tonight dreams that have been lost, circumstances that took them from us, things that were never supposed to be or that were never supposed to happen this way. We think about tonight relationships that have been lost, Could it be from addiction or unforgiveness or abuse or busyness, even from indifference? All those people and things and hopes that have been lost. We join the mourning Jacob and we light this candle for him and for us, knowing that there is room for this kind of pain in God's story. And along with the candle of the grieving, we light a candle for those who are burdened. And being mindful of the burdens that we carry, we hear these words from the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, so that we would rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He who rescued us from so deadly a peril will continue to rescue us. On him we have set our hope that he will rescue us again." And so we light this candle for Paul, for one who carried so very many burdens. We remember tonight how he was imprisoned, beaten, far from loved ones most of his life, carrying this responsibility of struggling churches on his very own shoulders. We remember his paychecks that seemed to be hit and miss, as was the strength of his community and his own strength. And as we light the candle for the burdened, we acknowledge our own burdens as well. We think on the shame from past mistakes, on the inability to pull ourselves out of present strongholds. We think on the pain of things that we have done and the pain of things that have been done to us. We think on words that have pierced our soul and on words that we needed that were never spoken. We think of the pain of others that we carry deep within us. All of those things in our lives that cause us to feel as if we're walking through the world with this backpack full of stones on our shoulders, weighing us down. We acknowledge these things. We join the burdened Paul and we light a candle for these burdens, knowing that there must be room even for this kind of pain in God's story. There is also a candle this evening for the fearful among us. And reflecting on the fearful, we look to Luke chapter 22, when Christ himself, a bit older than in the manger now, as in his final night in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says he came out and went, and as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." And an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. We light this candle tonight for our Savior Jesus, remembering that he too was afraid. As his time here on earth came to an end, and a day of suffering and shame was just around the corner, like us, he feared the pain that would be. Like us, he feared the unknowns. Like us, he feared being misunderstood. Like us, he feared how his death would hurt those that he loved the most. And as we light this candle, we acknowledge that we too have our very own fears. we too are faced with unknown futures, with pain that seems too great to bear, with concern for loved ones, with dreaded circumstances. Because even our Lord and Savior was afraid, we light this candle, knowing that there is room for even this kind of pain in God's story. And then tonight, we also light a candle for those in this place who are stressed. In a reflection on stress from Numbers 11, we find Moses and the people of Israel just arriving in the desert, finally free from Egypt, not yet in the promised land. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a sucking child to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors?' Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me." We light this candle tonight for Moses, who was stressed, having been given more responsibility than he could possibly handle on his own. In charge of an unhappy group of people, expected to find food and water for them where there was none, faced with all their questions of, "Why did you lead us here? Did you really hear from God? Who do you actually think you are?" And as we light this candle, we acknowledge that in our own lives, there are many pockets of stress. Some of these pockets are in fact so deep, they feel less like a pocket and more like a hole that we're simply trying to dig our way out of. We acknowledge the ways the responsibilities exceed our abilities to fulfill them, but they're way too big for us. Children who rely on us for their every need. Workplace demands and expectations that exceed what we are able to do. Relationships that demand more than we have to give. Needs that exceed our savings account. A to-do list that exceeds the hours in any given day. And being mindful of the stress of all these things and more, we think of Moses, called by God to lead the people of God. And we know that there must be room for even this kind of pain in God's story. And so it's the most wonderful time of the year, they say. Or it's the happiest season of all. Christmas cards, they show pictures of happy families gathered around the piano singing a Christmas carol together in perfect harmony. A beautiful little church in the woods, beautiful snow all around, a picture of peace. Pictures of Mary and Joseph with halos hovering over their heads, sitting there smiling down on their perfect newborn baby boy. And these pictures are all nice and good, except when our lives don't look like them at all, when they don't quite match those cards. When that happens, it seems that we begin to go in and out of the shopping malls and even worship services, and we feel kind of like we're faking it during this season, kind of limping along, celebrating life and light on the outside, while feeling surrounded by darkness and heaviness on the inside. We begin to wonder, am I just a fraud? Does all this really amount to anything? And we can't help but hope sometimes that January comes quickly so we won't be so easily reminded of just how unlovely things are this year, or perhaps every year for as ever many years as we can count. But have you ever considered how different the Christmas story in Scripture is from the one you see on the cards and in those pageants where adorable little children wear robes and wings and dance around proclaiming good news for all to hear? And this real gritty Christmas story that we find in the Gospels of Matthew and of Luke, you see grief, and you see burdens, and you see fear, and you see stress, no doubt about it. In that Christmas story, you have a picture of darkness and a picture of pain. Ever noticed how most of that story happens at night, in the dark? You can't follow a star unless it's nighttime. Sometimes our darkness is the perfect soil for life. My friends, we forget that. Mary, on this night, she gives real physical birth to a baby. I don't think that God eased the pain of childbirth before anesthesia just for this holy mother. There was no midwife to be found, not even a bed. Mary had contractions. They went through everything a mother must go through to bring life from her womb into the world. I can assure you there were tears, and there were screams, and there was blood. Certain of it. Never seen that card, though. And not only this mother had pain that night and in that season, but as soon as Jesus was born, almost immediately, the King Herod was overtaken by this great insecurity and began to have all the children killed all over the land. Mothers and fathers grieving everywhere. Where's that Christmas card, I wonder? And Mary's pain, it wasn't only the physical pain of childbirth. But just a week into Jesus' life, she met Simeon in the temple, who looked at her and told her that many would oppose her son, and her own soul would be pierced too. Painful words for a new mom to consider. Yes, there was much grief surrounding the manger. And the burdens. An innkeeper who was confronted with this very pregnant mother and frantic father with no way to give them what they needed from him. Joseph, unable to provide the most basic needs for his family. The wise men, burdened with the task given to them by the king to report on this baby's whereabouts, a task they would soon learn that they couldn't do, though I'm sure the consequences for disobedience would have been quite great. There were burdens in Bethlehem. Fear. Brand new parents hit with the reality for perhaps the first time that this newborn baby was all theirs to raise and to guide his whole life long. Those parents out there, do you remember that kind of fear with your firstborn being overcome by the reality of it all? I bet Mary and Joseph had that too. The shepherds, they're out in the fields in the middle of the night doing what they always do. And out of nowhere, an angel and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. There was fear that night that Christ came to earth. Plenty of it. And the stress. Shepherds trying to keep their flock of sheep together as they made their way into town to find the baby. Stressful. Joseph knocking on the door of every inn and household he could find, begging for a place to stay. And the days just ahead, having to make a home with a new wife and child long before he was prepared to do so. Shortly thereafter, having to flee to a foreign land as a refugee, as a stranger, just hoping that someone might care for his family and take them in. There was indeed stress in the Holy Family that first Christmas. Yes, you see, when we really begin to get it, when we really sit in the story of the Incarnation and see the beauty of it for what it really is, We soon realize the gift of Christmas isn't just some invitation to momentarily escape our hurts and our pains and our frustrations by singing these ultra cheery songs and lighting bright lights all around and eating extra carbs for a month. That's not what the gift of Christmas is. In fact, the gift of Christmas is not about an escape at all, at least not yet. The gift of Christmas is the truth that our God came into the grief. God came into the burdens. God came into the fear. God came into the stress. Our God came, and He comes until Jesus comes again once and for all, and these things are no more. Until then, in the midst of them, God comes. And that's the gift of Christmas for today. And that's the hope for tomorrow. The good news is that there is room in God's story for you this Christmas. Wherever you may be in life this season, there is room for you at the manger. Because into the pain, our God came. Jesus' very first breath of life on this earth was breathed with darkness all around. Into the darkness, life came. And as John chapter 1 says, what has come into being in Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness does not overcome it. Wherever you are, whatever you brought in with you tonight, my friends, hear this simple word: the darkness will not overcome you. That's the gift of Christmas. And it's all because our Savior came. And with that in mind, we have another candle to light this evening. And this is the candle in the middle, and it is the candle that represents our Christ, who has come and who comes. As I light this candle, I don't blow the other candles out, because for now, they're still part of our reality. But so is this. This candle is central to them all, not a part. This candle is a bit taller, ideally a bit brighter, though not really, but it should be. This candle shows that in the midst of the grief, in the midst of the burdens, of the fear, of the stress, there is a Christ right in the middle of them, holding them with us, coming into those places of our lives again and again and again, offering to be in that place with us, not saying, take care of these and then come to me, but just as you are, come, because just as you were, I came. And so tonight we reflect on the Christ who is here, on the light that overcomes the darkness. And we're going to have some time to pray, an extended time. Where you are, you can pray for whatever of these candles reflects where you are tonight. Name those places, those situations, those things, that baggage that you carried into this place. And as you name those things, reflect on Christ who is here, who's in it with you, that you're not in it alone, never will be. And as you feel led, we have all kinds of little candles up here. And invite you to come forward and grab a match, and using the Christ candle, light your match, and just light one of these tea lights as a reflection of a prayer that we are sharing with Christ, an invitation for Him to come and be with us in the grief and the burden and the fear and the stress. As we see these candles light up, we will know that just as Christ is with us, so we are also with each other. And that's a gift as well. So let us pray. As you feel led, come and offer up a prayer and light a candle with Christ in the center of it all. Conclude tonight, we take a moment and reflect on this table and these candles. We carried a lot into this place. Lots of grief and burdens, stress and fear, and even things that don't fit one of those titles, but that just aren't as they should be. And yet, they're all surrounding this beautiful picture of Christ, because He's here too. And as we see these candles lit, we know for one we're not alone, because we're all carrying stuff. We've got each other. Let's lean on each other. Let's walk with each other. And we know that we're not alone, because holding us all together is Christ, right? And so that's our hope for this season. That's what makes a table that is resembling hurt something very beautiful and very good and full of light. And once again, the light overcomes the darkness every single time. The darkness does not overcome. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for the gift of Christmas. Thank you that it is so much bigger and better, so much deeper than cheery Christmas carols and funny movies and presents under a tree and the perfect meal around a table. Thank you that that's not it. Thank you that the gift of Christmas is that we have a God who is near. And as your word says, a God who is especially near to the broken. And so, as those in this place who are broken in some way or another this year and every year, because we're humans and life is hard, thank you that Christmas is especially for us. Though the sights and sounds out there might tell a different tale, your word tells the real tale. Christmas is for us. Thank you for holding this with us. Thank you for being a friend and a savior. And more than all, thank you for being an overcomer. Thank you that these blue candles, that these heavy things will not have the final say. But in the meantime, we are not alone. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We go through this season now with permission to celebrate the Christ who has come and who comes. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.